Hey, listener, this is Ralph from Beer, Blood, and the Bayou, reminding you that if you love our podcast, please rate and subscribe on iTunes, SoundCloud, Classmates.com, or wherever you consume our show. We also want to remind you that if you have any questions, comments, or would like to unload on our latest podcast, please call us at 405-806-0476 or write us at listener@beerbloodbayou.com. Thanks.
Beer, Blood, and the Bayou contains adult language, graphic descriptions of delicious hop treats, and real crimes perpetrated in and around the greater Houston metropolitan area. Viewer discretion is advised. Bitches.
Yeah, so I'm doing my cursory searches of the interwebs, looking for Houston articles for our Bayou section for the upcoming Bayou section.
As you do.
Yeah, and I cannot help but read all the stories about Felicity Huffman and Lori McLaughlin.
Are you talking about
Felicity?
Today?
Yeah.
I thought that show was canceled.
Yeah, not the same Felicity.
Okay. This is hot off the fucking press, by the way.
Yeah, this is breaking today.
Yeah.
Have you followed this story, James?
Not since it was canceled.
All right, well, so I'll hip you to it. Apparently, Felicity Huffman and Lori McLaughlin are involved in a college admission scam.
Yes.
What do you know of this?
So I know the code name is Varsity Blues.
Ah, that's right. The FBI code name.
And so basically
what school is this?
Several. Georgetown, so, USC, Harvard.
Harvard
was one. Yale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So basically.
Phoenix?
No, Phoenix. It's an admission scandal. So basically, the rich and powerful were bribing, I guess, one gentleman, from what I understand.
But he was a fixer. Yeah. He was considered a fixer.
Yeah, exactly.
And he would. I mean, the levels they would go, what they would do is celebrities would have their kids listed as like members of a crew team and like get Photoshop pictures of them rowing crew.
Gotta read that.
Yeah. And then that's what this fixer would do. And then submit it to an admissions board as part of like a submissions package to get them in with a little extra, you know, some greenbacks on the old greasy palm.
Yeah.
You know, and, so it was that, and then there was several other things. Oh, they had at some point they were using ringers for ACT and SAT testing. They were paying off people at coaches for random sports, like lacrosse coaches were getting paid to recruit athletes that weren't ever going to step on the fucking field.
Yeah.
And look, I mean, what does this tell you?
So there's actually
What does this tell you? Colleges are greedy and it's wildly unnecessary.
Yeah.
Is this true, all of this? Because
every bit of it's true. It's the FBI came.
This is ruining my thoughts I have of Tom Hanks' son. I followed him all through college.
He was not
and he was
on
great
the list.
On the road team.
No, he was not on the list.
Oh, they've already released the list?
Well,
so he's good?
It's not every Hollywood celebrity. Which Hanks' son? Are you talking about Colin? Or are you talking about the rapper? Tom Hanks has two sons.
One of them's a rapper.
One's Colin Hanks.
One's Colin Hanks. And the other one's the rapper.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, I'm talking about the rapper.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
You follow him like fish?
What?
Or the dead?
I have all the albums. Have y'all not heard his?
No, I've never heard any Tom Hanks rapping.
Yeah, he's a real thug.
Really?
He's a hell of a listen.
So there's a couple people indicted here in Houston.
There's a Houston tie.
There's like three people have been arrested. And what's really fucking chicken shit is I noticed that they're not releasing their names as of yet. The people who were in court, they had like these blank pictures. They said this person's 49 years old. It's a CEO of some sort of tennis camp.
They arrested Felicity Huffman and issued her a $250,000 bond.
They actually arrested them.
Yeah, and fucking Aunt Becky has got a warrant out for arrest.
Have mercy.
Yeah, exactly.
So what was their role?
Well, they paid the fixer to get their kids into school.
To get their kids in school.
And what makes it worse is Lori Loughlin's daughter is an Instagram star.
She's fucking
influencer.
Hot, dude.
Well, surprise.
Was she 18? But, how old is she?
Well, college age.
Is she old enough for me to say that?
She made a comment. I'm wondering. She made a comment on an Instagram video about how she doesn't give a shit about school and thinks it's foolish or whatever. Smash cut. She's in college and she's hawking Amazon products on her Instagram page. Yeah. So it's like, getting these kids into college is important because they need to have that under their belt no matter what they do going forward. It doesn't matter if they go to class or do anything.
How long has this been going on? There's no way.
Forever. This is forever. Okay. This is forever.
Okay.
And then here's the thing. Here's a real big issue.
Yeah.
Is this is going to expose many, many other ways that admissions office is not based on anything that's not based on academic qualifications.
Well, it's,
right? Because this could be a problem for athletic scholarships. This could be a problem for legacy admissions. This could be a problem for large financial donor admissions. I mean, those are the things. Those are the greasy ways of people getting into college that they don't really talk about, you know. But
this shit already happens.
Yeah, I know. And by the way, I don't think this is the best example of white privilege. I think this is more of affluential privilege.
Yeah.
Because money fucking talks, dude.
Yeah, it does. I mean,
I don't understand how you have someone famous has a picture of their son doing a slam dunk during a Duke basketball game.
Oh, wait. No.
And then the rest of the team doesn't know that it's been Photoshopped.
But, yes.
That guy's on our team.
No. Okay. Good point, except that they didn't touch the two major sports. Football and basketball were
it's
not...
It's like shuffleboard and chess.
You're right. No, it's the lacrosse. Yeah. It's tennis, golf, anything, a rowing team. You know, all the obscure... And not to mention, they were now talking about the students that actually participated in lacrosse and those
of course they were on it too, right?
Well there's more to it, and it has more to do with, like,
they would be ultimate whistleblowers.
You're children of privilege. You can afford to go to all these your parents can spend thousands of dollars a month on you to go to golf lessons, tennis lessons, lacrosse lessons, crew lessons, and then you now have a back door into Harvard because you can get in under an academic, or you can get under an athletic scholarship, or through the athletic department, and then kind of slide in there and not be as academically worthy as maybe.
So they're getting their dumbass kid. They're getting their dumbass kids in.
Well, it's not sports. Really a dumbass kid. It's more like it's kind of a back door for people with money and that can afford that. It's like, hey, look, only a dozen schools in Texas have a fencing team. Let's get Junior to fucking be the best fencer he can be, and he can get into Rice, or whatever,
Can I interject for a second?
And he can do Bob R fence or wood fence.
Yeah. So you're really well read on this.
I read like one article.
No, I mean, like, I feel like you have. I saw a news program across. I was working out today, by the way.
Okay.
In the gym, right? And it was on mute.
His name was Jim.
Yeah. Working out, what, like your ankle massage?
Yeah. Or? And so, but I saw it on mute, so I didn't catch like all the details or whatever, but I just want to compliment you and say that you seem very well versed.
I read an article. First of all,
you got to run at least 2 miles on the treadmill to get the full article.
Like Lori Loughlin, I mean, she was in Rad.
She was. That's right.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, her name was Aunt Becky, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, from Full House.
Yeah, Aunt Becky.
Yeah, of course.
Uncle Jesse's love interest.
Here comes all the memes from Full House to the Big House.
Yeah.
It's like,
they just write themselves.
Little House in the Prairie.
Maybe. Yeah, well, maybe. I don't know about that. But,
I don't know who this is.
Yeah.
They just write themselves.
There hasn't been any other super famous people, but, they are arresting Aunt Becky. Can you believe that? You're going to see a fucking mugshot of this woman.
Yeah, but she's going to look beautiful in it.
I'm sure. Like, what was his name? Tom
DeLay. Who she's married to? She's married to, Massimo?
Yeah.
She's married to the dude who started Massimo. That's who she's married to.
Wow.
Well, and, no fear.
Susie inked that deal with Target, man. I mean, the fucking money just came rolling in. Well,
I'll tell you what, though, man. The Mossimo stuff at Target is not bad. Not half bad.
Oh, no. That and Stussy?
Yeah. Well, they don't. I don't think they do Stussy. Oh. Hey, quick question,
y'all
though.
Still have No Fear? I have a No Fear sticker on my truck.
Don't I had a black No Fear sweater that had a plaid hood. And my God, I wore that as many times as I could.
Remember that sticker I put on the back of my truck in high school? I put a Fear Me in big, like, 1 foot letters. Oh, yeah. And I went to
fear
work. And
fear you?
Yeah,
fear you?
I know. And the janitor that worked at the movie theater I worked at was like, hey, you need to take that off. That says Fear Me. What's going to happen when you get out of the truck and somebody wants to kick your ass?
I know, exactly.
You're going to kick their ass. And I'm like, nah, I'm going to take that sticker
that's
off
like a billboard. That's like a billboard to have somebody come kick your ass.
It came off.
Someone's like, yeah, I fear you. And you whip out a razor blade and you start scraping it off right
that's
in front
extremely
of them.
Dangerous. So back to the Mossimo
thing.
But it
was hard to get off to the sticker.
So the Mossimo, the Yaga, and the Stutzi, was that all like one company or was that?
I don't know. I wanted but to, it was all the same vibe.
The stylized very similar, right? Yeah. Remember?
It was owned by Ocean Pacific.
Was it?
Do you Panama know Jack.
You're making this up.
I was trying to name one more surfing.
Ah, Panama Jack was like 80s.
Yeah, I know.
And then now they sell like those shitty sunglasses like in gas stations, and that's basically... Or is that more of a Target thing?
I think it's Target.
Is it Target? I can't remember.
Target has Mossimo.
Yeah.
I don't know if they still do.
Well, cool. Either way. But thank you for complimenting me on my article.
No, I was just really impressed, and I just, you know, give credit where credit is due.
Well, he may be also in on it, so he knows a lot about it.
Perhaps.
So this is Beer Blood in the Bayou. Here we are. It is Tuesday night, one day late from our typical release in the studio, in Dickhead Studios. We have Mr. Josh Shams.
Who brought a special guest tonight.
Who did, yes.
For the blood section.
We also have Mr. Brower.
Hi, everybody. I have no special guest.
No special guest. And this is Ralph Sweetwater. And here we are, together in holy matrimony.
So, oh, yeah. We're together again and... thrilled to be here.
Yep.
So
go ahead.
On spring break, I was feeling very emotionally affected the other day as I was watching Roadhouse from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
I realized Patrick Swayze was taken from us way too soon.
Yeah.
That man. I mean, I looked it up. He was a little bit older than he let on, but he died way too young.
Huh? Fake ID.
No. Fake I mean, ID. If you think about it, in The Outsiders, he was probably in his late 20s, you know, and that was like in way early 80s. So he died in his, he was in his 50s. And he
you know he's there. Had a ranch in Magnolia.
Yeah. And he,
Meadow Ranch.
I heard he was a real jerk, too. But
was he?
Yeah, I heard he was a real dickhead.
You know, he had a dance studio right down. Well, actually, that's where he learned. He learned to dance.
He was a huge,
right down the street.
Huge dickhead.
He grew up. Boy, he grew up in this neighborhood. Dance. Did you know that?
Yeah, he could.
Did you know he grew up in Oak Forest?
That's right.
Yeah.
Did he really? I thought
that's why
well,
I brought
he owned
him
a ranch. Mm-hmm. He owned a High Meadow Ranch he owned in Magnolia.
Yeah.
And now it's like a big fancy neighborhood.
Right. But he actually grew up.
He went
like,
there.
He made his fucking bones in his neighborhood. So right across from King's Beer House, right over there, there's a dance studio. And that's where that motherfucker learned. No, Ella. Sorry, no, it's on Ella next to, God, what's that guy's? Gatlin's Barbecue.
No
There used to be a dance studio there. That's where he made his bones.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, he is missed, I'll say that.
And, yeah, pancreatic cancer, dude, just out of the fucking blue.
Was it pancreatic?
Yeah, it was, dude.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Out of the fucking blue, shot like and a shot in the dark, man.
You'd have thought it was lung cancer.
Pancreatic
is one of the most aggressive, I believe.
Yeah, it's very aggressive.
Yeah, Trebek's got it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
he's got stage
right,
four.
That's right, man.
Yeah.
Fucking Trebek. Like, what did he do to anybody except for, like, basically act elitist, pretending like he knows all those fucking answers when he does not?
He knows how to hold a 3x5 card.
Exactly. I mean, do you really think he knows all that shit? There's no way.
Yeah, he absorbs enough of it. I'm sure he probably.
Yeah.
It's trivia. It's not, it's not like he doesn't. If the world came to an end, but you and Alex Trebek were still alive, he wouldn't be like, "Oh, thank God!"
Yeah,
you know, I got Alex; he knows it all.
So I hear they film like once a month, and they do like 5 episodes. And I think they only do like
the best.
Like
best.
They do like he has like 12 working days in the entire year. The guy makes millions of dollars. Imagine that fucking job.
Wow.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Once a fucking month, and just boom, 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 gets like
he's great at what he does. He's got no. No issues outside the studio. So they
Brower used to watch him in college before we did, and then he would act like he knew him.
We talked about this.
No.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
No.
Brower used to DVR the Jeopardy.
I DVR'd an episode one time when I was at work. I came home after work and watched that episode. I then walked away and left, came back, and other people were watching it. So I sat down and didn't say a word about me having already watched it once.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
You know, speaking of funny, I was thinking of a way to make money for the podcast.
Oh, we're going to monetize?
In lieu of a Patreon, I think you could rent out this space we record in for a fucking sweat lodge. Because the tears of sweat that are pouring down my pits as we record.
Are you hallucinating?
I am definitely losing weight as I'm here.
It's really fucking hot.
You're welcome.
And you know, I knew that this was going to be an issue getting into the warmer months. When I say warmer months, we're in March and we're in Houston. The humidity, what is it? Fucking, it's 78% outside.
Well,
maybe 80%.
It was worse this morning.
Yeah.
But, you know,
do you come in this room when we're not here with like a full foil jumpsuit on and just run in place?
I mean, you might as well, dude. But there's no ventilation. This is literally one of the hottest.
Your contractor was like, nah, fuck that. I'm out of duct. I'm taking off the rest of the day. I'm going to put a vent.
So there's one. There's one right there, right?
Yeah, that's a picture of a vent.
Yeah.
It's not really a vent.
I thought that, yeah. You can see the oil
up there, I think.
You can see the oil painting.
It is
drawing.
Fucking hot. Okay, hey, real quick. So just some housekeeping, okay? I wanted to remind everybody about the One Sack Showdown, March 23rd, Great Heights. This podcast is going to be there. Are you guys excited?
Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can tell from my voice.
I can. So it's we're all going to be cooking a sack of crawfish, and so it's a crawfish cook-off. There's going to be, I think right now we got 17 different teams, 17 different types of crawfish. I think we're going to do probably $30 all you can eat.
Guess who had crawfish last night?
$6 about. You did.
$30 all you can eat?
Yeah, you don't think that's a good deal? That's a pretty good deal. I mean, so what do you think? What do you think is a good deal?
$25, man.
Really? $25?
Yeah. $30 is, that's a lot.
Well, the problem is that the
beer's not free.
I think $25 you get more into later in the season, right? Because the market price starts going down. Right now, it's still pretty high.
Yeah, but I mean, you have a shitload of crawfish you need to move and move it quick.
Yeah. And it wasn't a problem last year.
Okay. Well,
so,
crawfish bragger.
Yeah, but it really wasn't. But
how many teams did you have last year?
9.
You have a lot more teams this year.
I know, but we have a lot more people coming this year, too.
We'll see. So,
anyhow.
How do you know?
Yeah.
Pre-sale?
No pre-sale. So it's just you walk up, you can buy either.
How do you know it's getting bigger this year?
Because we have an invite out on Facebook.
A lot of response.
I can compare last year to this
year.
Yeah,
but I mean,
it's almost double.
Ask anybody who has a band, you know, people interested in an event and people showing up are two wildly different numbers.
I know, but we were able to calculate it last year, and it was pretty true.
I know, but classmates.com has two people interested, so that's accurate, usually pretty accurate.
Yeah, okay. Hey, I got something to say.
What's that?
So, what's the knock on Facebook lately?
What do you mean the knock?
Like, what do people don't like about Facebook? That's for old people?
It's gotten too messy. You know, it's just, there's too much going on.
Zuckerberg's got too much money.
Remember, it used to be very straightforward. You know, you could fucking like something, post something. That was it.
Well,
and now it's got all these fucking widgets, all these different things. And then you just have the ads are really fucking killing me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's why people left Facebook or left MySpace. It was just too many music videos and just convoluted bullshit.
You know what I find myself happening? So, like, you know, there's this like fucking Facebook called viral trend. And it's basically, they capture you at like your human essence. It's some guy like drilling a hole and you're like, I want to see what the fuck this guy's going to make. And next thing you know, 9 minutes later, you know, he's like fucking drilled like a water well. It's
what?
Like, I just spent 9 minutes watching.
Was this construction porn?
Dude, it's how they capture, you know, humans are innately, we're fucking curious, right?
Yeah.
We want to know what happens. And they fucking capitalize that. And then probably about 3 minutes into it, they make you watch this stupid fucking ad, right? And then, like, it's this little micro ad. It's like 10 seconds, but it's just enough to, like, piss you off, but not piss you off to not finish watching the fucking video. So,
YouTube is running a bunch of commercials right now for the NRA. I guess there's some vote coming up in the House or something.
Oh, really?
I mean, it's like every video is NRA.
Really? Well, every
video is for you.
Yeah, but exactly. They're targeted. I don't see any NRA videos.
I've never seen an NRA video.
Oh, well, I've been Googling AR-15 tattoos for like a month. Mean,
what the fuck? Hey.
Well, you know why? Do you like Harley Davidson, right? Like, I think it's just that, so they tailor the ads.
Yeah, well, maybe
based off
your
likes.
You have a racist search engine history.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay, cool. And, oh, yeah, so, right. So, one thing I wanted to talk about was the crawfish boil. The other thing I'm working with Culture Map. I'm doing a monthly column about craft beer here in Houston. So if you're a fan of Culture Map, look me up. All right. Anyhow, so we got a beer up next. So it's very seasonal. It's very
really.
Yeah, it's very matter of fact. It's very what's the word I'm looking for? Timing appropriate. So I'm gonna bring it up. I don't think you guys are gonna be surprised, but maybe you are. And yeah, so we'll
what's it gonna be called? March 12th beer?
Maybe. Yeah. All right. Cool. All right. We will be right back after this. And we're back.
Welcome.
Here we are.
You and I only.
You and I only.
Explain, please.
Yeah. It is a, it's going to be a Josh James and a Ralph Sweetwater party. I want to say maybe Brower and I got a disagreement.
Small, but semi-medium to large.
Semi-medium to large, enough for him to leave.
He did leave.
We're probably not going to go into it.
I would say read the show notes.
Yes, absolutely.
And it'll be behind a paywall.
And real quick, Josh, do you know what Sunday is?
Sunday is St. Patrick's Day.
Oh my God, how'd you know that?
Well, good question. That, as well as Halloween, are my two favorite holidays now.
Do explain.
Used to, I was a big Christmas person due to the gifts.
Yeah.
Giving gifts, that is.
Right.
Of course. And as I got older and in and out of college, I realized the holidays that allowed you to drink the most without being judged were the ones that were the most fun, i.e. Halloween and St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
It's a great time of year. You know, spring, the weather's changing. It's patio weather. Go get a margarita on a patio, have some good fajitas, drink good beer, go get your Blue Bonnet photos with the family.
Exactly. Be careful when you go get those Blue Bonnet photos because there could be, you know, fucking dry puke all over those Blue Bonnet.
Do not go get the photos the day after St. Patrick's Day. There will guarantee be a lot of puke.
Right, exactly. And I miss it too. I mean, I remember my
puke.
late teens, early 20s.
Right.
I mean, it's just a really, really good opportunity to go out there and just fucking puke all over yourself.
Do you think craft beer breweries will have green beer, or is that just a Miller Lite thing?
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, so there's definitely a few craft breweries in town that are going to have St. Patrick's Day themes.
Name them all. I'm joking.
Like, you know, I know B52, they're doing like some green beer.
One.
Spindle Tap.
Two.
I think they're going to have like a green beer release. They're doing like a can release.
I just didn't know that craft brewers did that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I think No Label, I think they're doing something too. But yeah. So, enough with that though.
Mm-hmm.
What am I holding? What is this?
Not a craft beer for sure.
It is, it's Guinness, right?
It's Guinness, but why do you have that?
I have it because, okay, so let's talk about this real quick. Mm-hmm. It's not a craft beer, all right? I mean, just by the very definition. So Guinness actually started in 1759.
Fucking A.
Yeah, it's a really, really fucking old recipe, right? And so it's now owned by a company, it's called Diageo, and they're a merger between the Guinness family and like this venture capitalist firm called...
Also a drug lord, Diageo family.
Right. Yeah, so drug beer, Coke beer. Mm-hmm. So it's called Diageo, and it's basically a company. It's a merger between Grand Metropolitan, which is basically this venture capitalist, and the Guinness family. Right, so it was created to get the Guinness to the masses. So
really,
yeah, I mean they own 51%. So you
the
can't
family.
Say no. Grand Metropolitan. So they technically own 50. I'm sorry, the merger owns 51%. So, I mean, you can go into, you know.
1759.
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy because you know what else happened that year. You may not remember this.
No, what happened?
I was just thinking about that as you were talking. That was during the Seven-Year War of 1756 to 63, which was a worldwide conflict in the United States between the French and the Indian War.
You are fucking full of shit. There's no way you know that.
I have a tattoo.
Oh, I see. You're looking at your phone.
No. I was looking at the tattoo I have. I had an Indian War tattoo on my back.
Okay.
That's good. A long time.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy, dude. So I don't know.
You can't get mad at that.
No.
That's a long time.
I don't know. I didn't do any fucking research per usual, but I can't tell you another beer that's maybe as old. Now, maybe like Chimay, maybe some of the Abbey beers. Like they've been going
some
on.
Some kind of monk beer we don't know about.
Yeah, but Guinness, I mean, it's a really, really old recipe. And I'm sure maybe it's changed a little bit, but, you know.
I need a list of beers that I can safely purchase at a store that are not going to support ABMV.
AB InBev.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I feel like there are times when you're in a small town.
Yeah.
And you go there and they're not going to have anything that's craft.
Yeah.
And you don't. Like Shiner, you're usually pretty safe.
Yeah. I mean,
which is what I go to.
Cambrinus, but. Right. It's better than AB InBev. Yeah. But, Shiner, you know, I'll tell you what. So the waters are so fucking muddied that, I mean, you're basically need to pull up the Wikipedia article every single time.
Really?
Like, that's how many fucking brands they have, dude. It's just absolutely insane. Anyhow, enough of that. Let's get to the beer. You ready?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Everywhere?
No, not everywhere. But packed lots of heat in here. All right, so Guinness Stout. So let's talk about tasting notes.
Is this just a regular Guinness? It's not like a special?
Yeah, it's regular Guinness.
Oh, shit. I thought it was like a special St.
Patrick's
Day release. Why is there a bear hugging a something?
It's an old design, I think. What's it say here? It's our legendary Guinness Stout.
Is this an anniversary beer?
Yeah, it's in a can that celebrates the famed Guinness campaigns of the 30s and 50s. So 1930s and 1950s. So it's like, you know, you're going to see. Remember all those posters, like you saw them in college and shit, like a perfect day for a Guinness. There's like a big toucan and shit on it.
1930s and 50s, they just completely skipped over World War II.
He poured some for Brower. He's not here. Oh, well.
A little bit of tear there.
Yeah.
So why not the 40s? Did they quit serving beer during the war or what?
Maybe. I don't know. See, these are things that are research, right?
Okay. How can you celebrate the 30s and 50s and just forget the war?
Yeah, fuck the war, huh? Mm. No. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure. Anyhow. Okay. So the aroma. So let's do a quick nose. Let's see what we get.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we got, you know, it's kind of sweet. Got a little bit of coffee, a little malt. It's very malty, you know, very malty. Okay. If we look,
this is what they use for a black and tan, right?
I
forget. It's been a long time.
No, I think they use like a Bass, I think.
Well, Bass is part of it, I think.
No, I don't think it is. No offense, but. Yeah.
It's been a while.
So, all right. So if we look at the beer, right? You see that creaminess?
Mm, definitely.
So that is a big, huge fucking characteristic of a nice Guinness Stout, you know?
Gosh, only Guinness.
It sounds like they're paying me. They're not paying me, I swear to Christ.
It looks like a coffee float.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know. It looks amazing.
Yeah. So, I mean, if we go by the appearance notes, very, very dark. Can't see through the shit, right? Can't see through it at all. And you got this kind of very rich, very creamy, it's very well organized head, right? I mean, this is fucking science, dude.
Honestly, this sounds stupid, but I don't think I've seen anything quite like this before.
What do you mean?
I've never really focused on a Guinness. I don't order it at a bar.
Yeah.
But now that you're talking about it, it's pretty fucking impressive how smooth it looks. I don't think I've seen another beer match that.
Yeah. So
is that hard to do scientifically?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, consistency to get this, you know, this sort of thing consistent. I mean,
that is crazy now that I look at it.
But, dude, in these massive fucking macro breweries, I mean, they got it down. It's a fucking science. I mean, all brewing is science, but this is like, you know, to the nth degree. I mean, they got people.
But if you order a stout at any of these local crap beer bars here,
yeah,
it's not going to look like this.
No. I mean, that's not fair. I mean, it definitely would, right? But I mean, first of all, it depends on the brewery. The consistency, I think it's gonna vary a little bit more on a small scale brewery because, you know, they just don't have the fucking resources and time to invest. You know, Guinness probably has 300 fucking quality control people who do nothing.
They probably don't have laptops at local breweries.
No, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying. But I mean, it's a more difficult process on a smaller scale. You know, and like I said, these fuckers have been doing this since 1759, so they kind of know what they're doing, right?
They have an idea.
Yeah. So, so like I said, you know, it's dark, can't see through it, rich, creamy head. Alcohol by volume, we're talking about 4.2.
Really? I thought it was more than that.
No, it's really light. And then, you know, the other thing too, which I think you're going to kind of pick up because we've been drinking IPAs here, you know, tonight.
And I honestly haven't had a Guinness in probably 2 years, 3 years.
What are you drinking there? You're drinking what?
Like on the side?
Yeah, on the side. What is that?
St. Arnold's Pumpkinator.
Oh, God. Okay. So
found you're, deep in your fridge. Listen,
this is going to taste, compared to that, this is going to taste like a fucking Bud Light. Like, it really is. I mean, it's just going to...
And that's what's crazy, because yeah. I haven't had this in so long.
Yeah. So remember when you first had it,
right? I was
when
like, oh, what is this?
Yeah. This, and like you taste it, and it tastes like a you're drinking a loaf of bread, right?
Right.
So right now, it's going to be fucking rich, it's going to be creamy, and it's going to be light. Right. Okay, which sounds kind of weird, but that's what we're going to get. All right, quick cheers. One for Brower.
Got him.
Got him. Okay, cheers.
Ooh, that bass.
Mm-hmm.
It literally has no taste.
It tastes like almost like water, right?
Yeah.
But now, but you got to think about what you're drinking, okay?
Right.
So you're drinking a fucking very, very thick barrel aged, like.
But I would never order this at a bar. But now I'm like, this wouldn't be bad for dinner.
Yeah. So you get a little bit of bitterness, okay? You get a little bit, you know, kind of sweet, malty, roasty type character, okay?
It's crazy that this is a stout. Light.
Yeah.
Like this to me now.
Yeah.
And I'm no beer connoisseur by any means. This does not taste like a stout to
exactly.
me. The stouts I know now are like, I got to sip them, but they're fucking pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm not an IPA guy, you know that, but I will drink most stouts.
So I'm going to tell you what's going on here. Your fucking palate is evolving, okay? And this is why it tastes the way it does, is because, you know, when you first tried this, when you were in, you know, trying to press some fucking chick back in college...
Or maybe like a couple months ago.
Yeah, or maybe a couple months ago.
Right.
I mean, this beer, this was impossible to get a whole pint down, right?
And much less a pint, yeah, fair enough.
Right. I mean, it was fucking impossible. Teenage Josh James
I would be like, oh, I'll take a black and tan. A little bit more tan.
Yeah, a little
black.
More tan. Yeah, give me some more of that cider. Exactly, yeah. Right? But now it's fucking easy drinking, dude.
It's like I need to drink some of this so I can drive home.
Yeah.
As I'm finishing this fucking St. Arles. You know, I don't want to get pulled over, so I need to drink this.
But the Irish, dude, they fucking pound this shit, you know? I mean, over St. Patrick's Day, it's fucking insane how much of this beer is consumed. So, yeah, I mean,
this is good.
That's Guinness for you. So I just wanted to...
That's crazy, though. I did not know. I would consider them something I wouldn't purchase at a store.
Yeah.
But they are safe.
Yeah.
It's good to know.
So, yeah, I just wanted to bring it out. I thought it'd be appropriate time. Just like last week, we did King Cake, right?
Ugh. And
Mardi Gras.
You gave me one for the road, and it's funny, I forgot to tell you this. I took it home, and I was like, hey, Ashley, you need to try this. We had it tonight at the recording, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
And I usually am not blown away like this. I like them, but I'm not blown away. And she's like, whatever. And then the next night, I was like, hey, let's open this beer. And she's like, nah. The next night, I opened it, and I let her try it, and she's like, oh, that's good. And then she went and poured herself a glass of wine, came back, put her wine down and filled up a pint glass the beer. And she's like, what? Fuck that. This is really good.
Yeah.
And fucking chugged it.
I mean, that
was so good.
That's a pastry stout through and through. I mean, that's a stout, right?
But
I mean,
it was so good.
It tastes like fucking king cake, right?
I mean, amazing. They nailed it.
Yeah. It's really, really good.
Not to go back on another beer from last week, but
cool.
Amazing.
Yep.
Well, good choice, man.
All right, man. Well, so that's it. I guess we got Ashley coming up.
Oh, yeah. Special guest. Special guest,
Ashley. She's coming in. She's going to
bring a case.
She's done some research, it sounds like.
Bringing a case from her hometown in our college town, Huntsville, Texas.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
Cool.
Let's hear it.
All right, man. We will be right back after this.
Murders.
And we're back.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh my God,
we're here with Ashley.
Do we have enough room in here for this briefcase?
I don't know.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
It's great to see you.
Sweetwater.
It's been a long time.
This is a lot of notes.
It has.
Yeah.
I feel like I've missed a lot of family moments lately.
What do you think of the room?
It's pretty creepy.
You remember what I said when I first walked in, and I'm not going to repeat that.
Say it. Go ahead. No, it's, you know, it's all age.
No,
podcast.
Not
all age. It's
she
adult
said
podcast.
It was rapey, which is ironic.
She did say it was a little rapey. Okay, so maybe it is.
Ironically, the contractor he hired was Bill Rapey.
Yeah.
That was his last name.
Okay. And so one of the things, so Ashley is not wearing headphones.
She said, fuck it.
Yeah, she said, fuck it. And so.
I thought you were going to say something.
Yeah. No. And then so she's not wearing headphones, but she promised that she's going to talk close to the mic.
I promise.
Because that's all about everything.
Oh, by the way, I just went and used your restroom as I do here, and I realized that y'all are in that phase where you have the kitty toilet next to the toilet.
Oh, yeah.
Disgusting.
Bowl or empty. Gross
phase.
So, actually,
he hasn't even learned to use it yet.
Oh. Neither. It took hours a long time as well.
Yeah, neither did I.
I started using it, yeah.
Yeah, I'm 38 and I still use it.
So, the four-year-old in our house is past, obviously, using that.
Yeah.
But his new thing is, I'm just going to poop and not tell anyone I poop.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not going to wipe because wiping is for dorks.
Sucks.
Jesus Christ.
Can you imagine doing that like at work? Like, you know what? Fuck it.
I feel like wiping. I've been through one kid kind of doing that. And,
are you going to move that glass? Move that glass on the table, or is it going to fall and make us all scared?
Which one? This one?
The one that's barely
hanging.
Yeah. Glass that's barely
hanging. There you go. You're right.
I feel like that's a guy thing, though, no? Like,
pooping?
Guys don't wipe. Why is that?
I don't know. It's more efficient, I guess.
I just started.
That's disgusting.
Hey, there's no judging here, okay?
Well, right. I mean, if you
Let's talk
get
about
laid,
a murder.
Let's talk about a murder, maybe.
Yeah.
So what do you got?
Well, so this one, the reason I'm here tonight, can I tell the story of how
these were your parents?
All started?
Go ahead, absolutely.
It's really short.
Yeah, go ahead. No,
so
no,
we
no,
were on
ahead.
Our way back. Josh and I were on our way back from Bastrop the other day. And he said, I need to have a case ready by Tuesday.
Okay.
And I was like, I feel like my mouth is in this.
It's okay.
That's what she said.
You sound great. You sound really good.
Anyway, so I said, why don't you do the one that I've talked to you about with Larry LaFleur, which is a guy that's been convicted of the murder of his wife, and it was a cold case, and like I just grew up knowing a lot about it, not everything about it, but a lot about it, having it happened in Huntsville.
Okay.
And
which is where you're from.
Which is where I'm from, Huntsville, Texas. So he insinuated, as he does when I have off as a teacher, why don't you like do the research for me?
He
does a lot of research.
And I said, well, if I'm going to do it, then I want to talk about it because it's what I grew up knowing about and living with and being scared of at times.
This is like your hometown murder.
Yeah.
That kind of really got
it went unsolved for a long time.
Yeah. Like 25 years.
I think everybody has one of those. You know, they have one that really affects everybody. I have one. Like mine's the Woodley case.
Yeah, I know.
Like episode one, right?
I remember that.
That like freaked me the fuck out, you know?
That's right.
And it just never leaves my mind. Now, to a lot of other people, it's not so impactful because they weren't living in Copperfield. They don't know the people.
Mine was West Memphis 3.
Yeah, because you were living in West Memphis, Arkansas.
I was a Pearl Jam fan.
That's right. And that makes perfect sense.
I don't think they were Pearl Jam fans. They were like Metallica.
Cool.
Eddie better just saved Pearl me. Jam was more like 90s.
Yeah,
Eddie saved their life. He got him out of prison.
No, it was Johnny Depp that got him out of prison.
You can't find a better man. All right, let's get to these notes. I said 3 pages. Don't tell me this is 4 because that takes a long time.
No, that's like 6 pages, actually.
Okay.
Well, so, anyway,
six is better than 4.
All right. The victim in this case, her name was Mary Jane LaFleur.
Okay.
Beautiful woman.
And yeah, a really cool name. She was beautiful. She was really, really pretty.
Yeah.
African American female, obviously.
I don't know if that's not obvious to me, but that's
that she was a female. That's not obvious to you when her name's Mary Jane.
No. You said sorry. It doesn't matter.
The way you said it, you said it out of order.
Yeah, it's okay. No worries. No worries. Go ahead.
You're new here. You're learning how to talk. Go on.
Okay. Right, let's just let her go.
So, anyways, on July, I think it was the 19th of 1991.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Jane LaFleur apparently was last seen at the West Hill Mall, which, Ralphie, you remember West Hill Mall.
I've been there.
It's our listener, the West Hill Mall is probably top 3 biggest malls in Huntsville.
Madisonville area. Yeah.
It's really not a mall.
It's fucking depressing is what it is.
It should be called like West Hill Building because I used to go there in college and every place I would go to, like I would go to like Foos Locker or like Cinnabon. And I would always have to ask one thing, like, hey, are y'all open?
Yeah.
It was like super depressing.
No, they
didn't
have weird hours. Sometimes you never knew when everything they were going to be closed.
Yeah. And you know, the thing about that mall is like, when I remember it when I was going to school there, it was dying back then. So I can't even imagine. What is it like?
No, now? They still have stores operating. Like, okay. Palais Royal, oh, really? Took over from small. Bell's.
Okay.
JCPenney's is still there.
Wow.
They still have the Pimp store,
okay.
I think.
Okay.
Which awesome. Literally had purple and mustard colored
and those
suits.
Big fucking hats with
yes.
feathers in it. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So there's some, but half of it now is owned by TDCJ, I think. Oh, so they have a bunch of prison. TDCJ offices in West Hill Mall.
You know what's funny is, real quick, one more thing on West Hill Mall. It's a very tiny mall, and I will never forget, I was there one day, and there were an elderly couple mall walking, and I'm like, you could just walk around your truck in circles and it'd be a lot more square footage as you're walking because there's like nothing to this wall.
No, there were stairs though. They the mall lots
there was
stairs.
There were like three stairs. Mm-hmm. Very
so
small.
Anyways,
go ahead.
And,
yeah.
And so by the way,
so she was last seen there.
TDCJ, by the way, because I'll actually use that acronym a couple of times. Mm-hmm. It stands for the Texas Department of Criminal Justice.
Corrections.
TDCJ. That's Unless what it's called now. It. Yeah, they did actually. They changed it about 2001, 2002, right? Where UTMB came in and took over part of it.
I'm going to update my database.
You're a criminal justice major, so I'm sure you know all that. All right. So on July 19th, 1991, apparently Mary Jane LaFleur left work at TDCJ, where she was a sociologist, and informed some of her friends and family that she needed to head to West Hill Mall to pay some bills.
Normal.
So it is actually normal. I thought about this. Having worked at Bell's for like 4 years, high school and college. Yes,
super
right
proud
after
of it.
Casa Tomas. People used to come in to pay their bill all the time. Their credit
card bill. At Bell's. At Bell's.
Yeah, at Bell's. They would come in and make their credit card payment at Bell's. And
so you could buy
I know that my mom did it at JCPenney's with a JCPenney's card.
So you
she
could,
had.
Oh, it was a Bell's credit card.
Yeah.
I thought you meant like pay your light bill there.
No, they would.
Like, I want some Old Spice and Stetson and I need to pay my light bill.
We didn't have Stetson. Anyways, so she was headed to West Hill Mall after work to pay some bills. This was on a Friday, obviously.
Okay.
And about 4 hours later, apparently she didn't show up back at home. So according to her husband, he went to go investigate the parking lot, go to West Hill Mall, check it out, see if she's up there, what's
Maybe
going on.
Maybe go to Foos Locker. Get some new shoes.
So one of the things, I guess I didn't, okay, so I didn't write this down to talk about, but I'm actually going to talk about it at this point.
Here we go.
Are his stories. So her husband, Larry LaFleur, has several stories that he's communicated over the years with different people about what happened at that point.
Right.
One of the stories is that he goes up to West Hill Mall. He sees her car in the parking lot. And then he sees her proceed to get into a vehicle with a man, I believe a Thunderbird, and speed off. He proceeds to follow them.
Yeah.
And they get almost to New Waverly, and he's low on gas.
How far is New Waverly? It's like, what, 20 miles?
Yeah, it's about 20 miles.
That's where we used to go party because they were open until 2
on
I-45.
Hell yeah.
Remember, they were open until 2.
2 a.m.
Yeah.
So we could party there.
Bell's
that
Camp.
Was awesome. No, that was Bell's Camp. There were two other places that we used to go that were towards
after
New
they opened. Because in Huntsville at the time, you could only drink till midnight.
Bullshit.
When we were there. And then we would go out of town.
Bullshit. No, I mean, well, it was bullshit.
It's different now.
Yeah, it was
bullshit. I wasn't a fan.
You know, I don't mean to interrupt you. So he grabbed a Cinnabon and got his Foos Locker shoes.
Yeah, he chased these guys to New Waverly.
Yeah, so he gets low on gas, apparently. And so he turns around and comes back. And the whole time, according
Which
to him,
stupid.
He's thinking she's having an affair. Like, she left with a guy that she's having an affair with. And so he turns around and he comes back home. Another story is that She, what are you doing?
I'm just telling you to put away from your mouth just a little bit.
Okay.
Pull. Oh, it's too close.
It's too close. I know. I'm so sorry.
She okay, does not so, know how to handle it.
Yeah, I'm never doing this again.
This is perfect.
She's used to two mics.
This is perfect. What are you doing right there?
Cupping the balls?
Yeah, cupping
the balls. Go ahead. Yes, the snowballs.
Okay, so another story is that he gets to the mall and sees her vehicle there. It's empty, and he starts driving around, and then all of a sudden a car passes him, and she's in it with another guy, and she ducks down, and he proceeds to chase them to, like, basically down I-45 for like a mile, like to the Possum Walk area. And he turns.
Do explain this.
Okay. So there's a street in Huntsville.
I have no idea.
You don't know?
I don't know.
I mean, I know the dance, the Possum Walk.
There's a street in Huntsville named Possum Walk.
No kidding.
And I have some good memories on Possum
Walk. I don't want to hear about any of those.
There's a cemetery out there.
Oh, I thought it was like a Lover's Lane thing.
No. Mm-mm. Okay. I had friends that lived on Possum Walk, good friends. But anyways, so he turns around that area, and then he heads back to West Hill Mall to see, like, he actually ends up, this is where the story is the same from what I could see.
So to be, not to interrupt you, to be clear, he's given two stories now to
Yeah, like his stories differ on when he actually saw her. Was it getting into a car in the parking lot at West Hill Mall, or was it with a guy in a car and they drove past him? And also they differ on how far he actually drove out of Huntsville.
What do you know if this was something he gave investigators or like the news reporters?
Yeah, no. Okay. So he told this story to investigators and also to coworkers. Have relayed this story to investigators, but he's also changed his story several times to investigators.
Oh yeah.
There's that. Well, here's the deal though. I mean, this happened over the course, like he's been questioned over the course of like 26 years. So your recollections are going to change about things.
Right.
You know, so there's that.
And to be clear to our listener, your family knows this family ish.
Yeah, somewhat. Yeah.
Like your brother.
So my brother and one of her sons, one of the oldest son of the two that she had.
That's how it works.
Yeah. So they played baseball together, or they at least, participated in machine
sports.
Pitch, baseball, back in the
like
day when they
pitch.
Were young. Yeah.
Early.
And then of course my dad worked for TDCJ and then UTMB, which is University of Texas Medical Branch, the whole time we were living in Huntsville. So he,
what did he do
knew
for them?
A couple of different things.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Close to vest.
Yeah, that's very specific.
Very, very secretive.
Yeah,
like import, export type.
He actually may be a guest at one point.
Maybe. He's probably got some good stories.
He does have a great story.
Yeah, he has good stories. I just don't know if he's going to share them with y'all.
Oh, he doesn't like us.
He likes us. He likes you, doesn't he?
I don't know. Not now. I don't know. Anyway. It seems kind of awkward. We'll talk after we're done recording.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Carry on, dear.
So...
different stories were given to investigators.
Yeah, different stories were given to investigators. He was telling coworkers different things. So fast forward about 2 years.
Okay.
And I'm fixing to talk about a major event in the case, but prior to this event happening, Mr. LaFleur, Larry LaFleur, files for life insurance and receives it. From his wife.
With no body at this point.
With no body at this point.
Did not know that was even legal.
Mm-hmm.
Me neither.
And then he also gets a divorce within about a year's time frame.
Still no body.
Sounds like
still
King
no
Henry
body.
VIII.
Mm. And then he also moves to Abilene, Texas.
Ooh. Lots of single ladies in
to
Abilene.
To find God.
And
to find God.
Gets remarried.
Okay.
Oh.
So there's that.
Okay.
Doesn't look good for the home team.
So it was February 9th, 1993.
2 years later, after the car was found.
Yeah. So the car was found in 1991.
Right. That's
okay.
How
that
works.
Was actually something I need to talk about. The only thing that was consistent with this story is that he did go back to West Hill Mall, mm-hmm. get in her car, and drive it back to his house.
Oh.
And then got a friend of his to get up with him the next day and take him to get his car at West Hill Mall and drive it back to the house. So
at this point, all they had to go on was an empty car.
Yeah, which he moved from the scene and hadn't told police yet that she was missing, by the way.
Was there a purse or anything in there? Do you know?
Yes, her purse was found underneath the car.
Should I ask you more? I feel like I shouldn't do
Which investigators
you.
Like, you're not felt telling me like, no, I mean, ask questions and I'll remember things
Ralph,
I need to talk about.
Put that fan on slow and get some cigarette smoke in here. Because she's not letting us on everything.
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay, they did find her purse underneath the car. You asked me these things, I'm going to tell you because
okay.
I know the answer.
Well, don't hold anything back.
Don't hold anything back.
You need to let us know. And also sign here. Do you want an attorney present?
Yeah, we need to know everything.
I definitely need an attorney present.
There we go.
So anyways, investigators felt like, well, okay, so from right off the bat with that story, they were like, she's not going to leave her purse. If she's having an affair, she's going to take her purse, but why would you leave your purse?
Yeah.
So that was really suspicious when that came up. But anyways, I don't want to jump ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So, he did end up contacting police, and filing a missing persons report that Monday. So she went, or actually there's conflicting reports. Some things I've read say that he did it on Sunday. He went down to the Huntsville Police Department and filed it on Sunday, and other things will give the date of Monday. But he was encouraged to do that by, like, friends and family. He didn't do that apparently on his own accord. Like, oh, this is something that's for real. This could be serious. People encouraged him to go do this, which is kind of telling to me.
Yeah. I mean, inherently, like, you should know to do that. Right?
I
right.
mean, yeah.
You, at that point, you were freaking out.
So
as a,
the other
as a
thing
husband.
Is, yeah. too, about the affair situation, like, he apparently was thinking that, yeah, she'd gotten into a car. Regardless of how he told the story, his whole thing was, she was having an affair, she left me, and I'm just more angry than I am worried, I guess, is the take he had.
Suspect.
But I definitely know that from everything I've looked at, read about, known over the years, that she didn't actually leave for an extended period of time for really anything. Yeah. So it was like, I feel like that would be out of the blue, regardless of whether or not she was having an affair. She didn't leave for days on end without telling anyone. She had two boys that she was, from all accounts, like, an amazing mother. She seemed
we
like
say
an
by
amazing
all accounts
mother.
This broadcast.
That's right.
I know. I think I got that from you, actually.
We're
so I'm really pissed at myself.
You do
right
say
now
by
for
all accounts
that.
A lot.
He says that a
it's
lot.
It's very professional.
And I'm
it does.
So
people
sorry
know me.
That I just said it.
People know me in the industry.
Well, you guys are like somewhat related. So
AK,
makes sense.
By all accounts.
Yeah.
So. He already okay. sounds very suspect because if so, your wife is gone for like more than 2 hours, you have enough time to play like two PlayStation yeah. games or go to happy hour. And if they're not back, you're shitting in your pants.
That's at least three craft beers of petrol.
Right. Three craft beers or two games of Fortnite.
Well, this was almost 2 days.
Then you're worried.
This was almost two solid days that she was gone. Almost.
Damn. That's a
so,
lot. That's a lot
okay.
of Fortnite.
Fast forward back to forward to 1993. So this is February 9th. There's a man that is apparently someone who's looking at property out on Highway 30. He's
know
a
it well.
Prospective buyer.
That's the street that goes to College Station,
it
west
is.
Of Huntsville.
Yes.
That's right.
It's the street I used to live on. In fact, I didn't say this before, street. But I lived about 5 miles from West Hill Mall and out in a subdivision out Highway 30.
Location bragger.
Bragger.
About 7 miles east
you
of
were
where
close,
the body
you
was
live that close
found.
To top three malls
so
Huntsville.
I'd like to go ahead and get to the rest of this.
Go ahead.
Okay, so her body is found on some land on Highway 30. It was FM 3179 Highway 30, which... Should we explain to our viewers what FM means?
It's a radio station.
Farm
right?
to market.
Yeah, farm to market.
Farm to market road.
Yeah. A is feeder it,
they,
road. That's they, what I called it.
Do
a
they
feeder
not
road.
Have those everywhere else?
I'm not our listener in Iceland.
Are we the only ones who have?
I really think that we are.
We have listeners in Australia.
There's feeder roads, but what do most people call them? They call them
feeder roads.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I don't know.
What are they called on the
side? Oh, in New York, it's CR, Club to Restaurant. They don't have farm to market.
No, it's called a...
thoroughfare.
It, when you're in Conroe in Houston, you're driving around and you see the feeder road right there.
Feeder
it
road.
Doesn't say feeder road, though.
I know.
It says,
Beltway.
Feeder
road.
Feeder, Beltway.
Bypass road. Access road. Access road.
Is it access
road? I don't know.
Okay, whatever. Anyways, moving
keep
on.
Keep going.
Go on.
So, yeah, her body's found on this land. So the interesting thing about this was the guy that located her body, he was kind of like under a little bit of cloud of suspicion because come to find out he was not a prospective buyer because the Gibbs brothers, the family that owned that land, was selling it. And
what?
Gibbs brothers is a name that's very well known around Huntsville.
What was that name?
They were not selling
any of
their land.
But he said he was going there to look at land for sale.
Exactly. So, and from what I remember when I was young, I remember it being a deer lease, like that it was land that people hunted on. It was deer, you know, lease property.
Right.
But anyway, so that's kind of odd. But anyways, her body was found. It was not
our listener. Deer lease is an article in the Huntsville Item. It's a girl. She's in her 80s now. She's been writing deer lease. You can write into her. She has her own article. She has a lot of money and bought this property.
Renting a deer. Like deer, a lease. Deer lease.
She deer lease.
You could rent a deer.
Bought this property.
I'm trying to laugh, but I can't.
I know it's terrible.
Sorry.
It's bad, right?
I know I'm talking about him. You're doing.
You're funny.
By the way, you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Yeah, just FYI.
I'm trying to be funny.
Sorry.
Okay, so her body was not buried.
Really?
It was found. And of course, at this point in time, it's bones.
Yeah,
you know, right?
Straight of bones. Yeah.
So this is 3 or 4 years later.
Has been. No, it's not 3 or 4 years. Listen. It's been about 91 to 93. It was just under 2 years, I believe, if you look at the months.
Let me check my abacus.
And
that's two button. Yeah, okay.
2 years. Yeah,
so
two
one
years,
thing they knew immediately they could rule out is that it was not robbery.
Oh, okay.
Because all of her jewelry was found.
No shit on
wedding
her.
Ring, all of it.
Oh, wow.
On the skeleton.
Well,
that's crazy.
Near it, on it, but yes, there. Yeah. I've seen pictures of it. It was her
pictures.
Diamond ring.
It's online for our listener. Or you have secret
pictures.
Yeah,
if you're... No, I have secrets.
She's good at finding stuff.
Do you know people?
Finding shit.
She knows people.
I know people.
Can you find my car keys?
She can Google skeleton and find anything in any closet. She will find it.
Can you find my integrity? Because it's somewhere around
Yeah.
No, that's impossible to find.
Yes.
I've been looking for that.
So this guy was looking at property, found her skeleton with jewelry.
Okay, so yeah. And so, of course, he caught and contacts the police. Police come out there. They take a look at it. So... It was definitely not a robbery, so they're looking at homicide now. They reach out to Larry LaFleur at this point. Like I said before, he's moved to Abilene, Texas. And they reach out to him to come back. They identified her through dental records. And he doesn't want to come back. He has no interest in coming back. He declines to come back.
He's like, that was 2 years ago.
Yeah, basically.
Quit call me. But, hey, where's our jewelry? Can I get that jewelry? I don't know. Good pawn shop in Abilene. Yeah.
He reaches out and he gets a lawyer. And the lawyer actually says, I don't know if the detectives keep calling or whatever, but the lawyer lets him know, hey, y'all need to cut it out. I don't want you to have any contact with my client anymore. So
he hired Dick DeGuerin.
I mean,
I'm Dick DeGuerin.
I'm joking.
At some point between 93 and like 2016, 15, Mr. LaFleur moves back to Huntsville.
Wow.
Because that's where he ends up being confronted by cold case detectives.
Yes, I've heard this part.
In front of a grocery store and taken in for questioning for 4.5 hours. And that's what gets the ball rolling as far as the cold case goes. So after 1993, things just kind of like don't happen for this case. It just
her body
stalls.
Was found. He's like, I don't care. And it just, cold case.
Yeah, it's cold case, definitely. So I know you're not a fan of her, and I don't really have an opinion about her,
look,
to be
I
honest.
I think your mom is a great person. Oh, shit, are we recording?
But this woman named Kathy Siegler, who
do you know this person?
Oh, of course.
Yep.
So she was
fucking
a prosecuting attorney in Harris County.
She's from like Baytown, right? Though, or something.
Yeah,
Baytown,
or a detective.
A leak city.
She's Harris County. I mean, she basically invented 48 hours. I mean, she's okay. On that.
But she's from like Leak City or Baytown or something. I think so. She's from like the Houston area.
She is a fucking. She will rip out your balls, and you will love it when she does it.
Oh yeah, wow. Yeah. You didn't know that. No,
I mean, I watched her on Oxygen. That's why I did not get that. She's gonna rip out somebody's balls.
Oh my god, dude.
Oh no, there's an episode where she rips someone's balls out.
You didn't see that?
It's called Balls Out. Yeah. It's crazy.
And she literally shoves it into somebody's mouth.
Yeah, it was a fellow detective.
Okay. And she says, do you enjoy these balls in your mouth?
She goes,
I feel like that's a porn you watch.
And then the guy's like, yes, what I saw.
At the very end, she's like, now who's nuts? And the episode was over. And it was weird.
So we love Miss Siegler here, apparently.
So where were we?
Well, anyway, so she gets involved because she started this cold case justice thing on Oxygen.
Cold justice.
Her and another
girl. They go around and like solve cases that are cold or investigate them and call people out about it. Okay. I've watched them.
Detectives in Huntsville apparently reached out to her and wanted her help on this case because they felt like they had a lot of really good leads, but they just weren't solid enough. They felt to take anything to a jury.
Right.
And so they reach out to her. She gets involved, and I guess she is a fucking miracle worker because she's the one who basically, through her investigative work, she gets the ball rolling that ends up putting Larry LaFleur in the spotlight.
She walked in chewing the sack of nuts. He's like, who do I talk to?
And he was nervous.
Yeah.
He was nervous.
So Kelly Siegler is, they round him up at a grocery store. This was 2016 or 17, maybe 2017.
Yeah.
They question him for 4.5 hours. And one of the things that she says that was really, I don't know, noteworthy to her. Yeah, she's watching him as he's getting questioned. This is actually on the show.
On the show.
Yeah. Okay. And one of the things that she notices is how calm he is the entire time. 4.5 hours of questioning. He doesn't bat an eye. He's cool as a cucumber. And that's telling to her. It's not necessarily, I think she's implying it's not necessarily telling in the sense that he's not guilty, but in the sense that he is.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not rattled at all by this.
Yeah. If you feel like you're not guilty, right, and you know you didn't do this,
right,
you're fucking nervous, right?
Well, and they proceed to present all this evidence that shows that he has more to do with this than what he's saying. So they first bring up the fact that there's been conflicting stories all along. They say, you tell a coworker this, you told us this at one point, and then you change your story to this. Like, it's not making any sense to us. Do you understand why it's not making any sense to us? And Larry LaFleur responds that, you know, if it's a coworker, they lied. If it's this person, they lied. He basically called a lot of people out for being liars. So the detectives turned it right around and said, okay, so basically you're saying, because all of these stories that we're hearing from other people are pretty consistent in like evidence to show why you would do something like this or how this could become a situation in your household. And you're the only one out of all these people that has a different story. So to us, who does it look like is lying?
Right.
And one of the things he said during the interview that was interesting to me, and they definitely made note of in the show that I watched.
Go through your briefcase. Was dig deep in your briefcase.
He says, Michael literally Fish. During the interview, he says, you can remember the truth, but
you
lies.
Can handle you... it? Tell me he hold said you on, can't handle the
hold
truth.
Hold on. Oh, you can remember the truth, but lies you can't. Mm. Basically meaning like he felt like he had a solid, same, similar story every single time. And so therefore he was telling the truth. And if you're lying, you're not going to be able to remember. But the funny thing about it that's very obvious to me is that as an outsider looking in at all of the things that he's actually saying throughout the years, written statements and verbal statements, they do change. So
not consistent,
in his mind, it's not changing, but to an outsider, it is. So he can't keep his own story straight. So that's whatever.
If you're innocent, your story would never change.
I don't know. Listen, I don't believe that because I'm a guy who fucking does not remember details. I just don't. And,
we'll stop drinking then.
Shut up, Ashley. Yeah. So I think if somebody asked me, like, Because, like, okay, let's say you're innocent, right? And you were just off, I don't know, drinking a craft beer somewhere. Or, you know, you were just some normal mundane fucking Tuesday. And they're asking you 3 months after the fact, where were you between the hours of 4 and 8 o'clock that night? You know, thank
God. I would have no idea.
4 in the afternoon and 8 o'clock that night?
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, let's just say that was a, you know,
was like months later.
Well, like, yeah, months later.
And we're talking about you? I know where you were. Between 4 and 8.
She saw you.
Okay.
You were.
On the video.
Where was I?
CCTV.
Yeah. my point is, though, is that just trying to reconstruct, like, just, you know, from months later.
Well, what you're forgetting, though,
is. Who fucking knows, man?
What you're forgetting, though, is.
And then each time you tell the story, maybe you remember something else.
Yeah, well, to an extent, what you're forgetting, though, is on a very traumatic day, you should know every hour.
Okay, but I'm just saying, but if you're.
The fact that, yeah.
If you have no involvement, why would you fucking remember those 4 hours?
But he had involvement, though.
Yeah, I know, I'm just saying. I'm playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, no, I understand because there's stuff, but I think it goes back to. I think it goes back to the fact that if it is traumatic and you are questioned about it by somebody, then it's like those kind of things. If it's something that just happens and there's nothing to like really mark that moment,
yeah,
then yeah, you're gonna have a hard time recalling things.
You're not
for
gonna
sure.
fucking remember, you know,
for sure.
Like, I remember like listening to Cato Kalin, for example. Like,
oh
back in the OJ trial.
I remember that, too.
And so he's just like, I don't, you know, you're asking me to fucking remember some, you know.
Did he say that, like, on the stand?
Yeah. Yeah, he says, like, you're asking me to remember, you know, a few hours of one night
that was not pertinent to him at the time.
So, but I think it may be in that instance, though, you know, Nicole Brown was murdered. So you probably have a little more clarity. Like, when 9/11 happened, I knew exactly what I was fucking doing.
Because you were in it.
But yeah,
see,
I was in
Cato
it.
Cato Kalin was not in it when that shit happened with OJ and his ex-wife.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, exactly. He was questioned about it later.
Later on.
So he's, it's a different situation.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Anyways. Okay. So his story keeps changing. And they felt like it didn't ever really make a lot of sense to begin with. The fact that he drove back and got her car. By the way, I was wondering if y'all were going to ask about that. Like, why did he drive back and get her car?
Hold on. Why did he drive back and get her car?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
So he claims that he drove back and got her car to piss her off. So when she
would
get dropped back off at West Hill Mall, which is where she met the person she was having an affair with, her car wouldn't be there, so she would be pissed.
Very plausible. I used to do shit like that all the time.
Really?
All the time.
But like,
immature shit like that, yeah.
Like, this is like last year.
No, it was like when I lived in Huntsville, like, you know, multiple fucking...
At West Hill Mall.
Anyhow, sorry, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, so, let's see. One of the things that they thought was odd. So he actually worked for TDCJ.
Yeah.
This is not what they thought was odd, but just to preface this, he worked at TDCJ with his wife. But he was... I don't really know what he did at TDCJ, but I do know it was an important job.
Yeah.
He had many people that worked under him, and he was well respected. Like, I do know that, but I don't know what his actual job title was. But one of the things that they found interesting, detectives early on or police early on, is he has all this background in criminal justice and policing, et cetera, and just being around that type of environment. Yet he got no license plate number. He, of course, waited days to call the police. There were just some things that go against what he's been schooled in over the years, you know,
like you have to be an A-list actor to be able to act your way out of a situation like that, in my opinion.
Well,
I mean, I feel like
it's not about acting. It's about your,
everyone reacts differently.
Pathology.
I mean, if you're pathologically
psychopathic,
if you're a sociopath,
it has nothing
to
do with your acting skills. It has to do with something way deeper than that.
I just don't think that you can.
But if you've been in a few musicals, it definitely helps.
Yes.
Just saying.
If you know
how,
look,
were you good in Rent?
If you're good at jazz handing, you're getting out of a lot of shit.
Exactly.
So
I don't know.
All along. After this originally happened in 91, all the way to when he's being questioned again for 4.5 hours in 2017, the police are starting to find out more about their relationship as a husband and wife. Mm. And it's not painting like a really good picture. People are beginning to be more comfortable coming out and talking to cold case detectives.
Sure. Yeah.
And they're starting to tell stories about how you know, Miss LaFleur, Mary Jane LaFleur would come into work, and there was a situation one time where it was obvious to this individual that her hair had been grabbed out, like chunks of baldness. I mean, it was like chunks were taken out. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't necessarily say bald. I don't know for sure, but patches. Chunks of hair were taken out. Patches. And she had tried patches. Yeah. Yeah. And she had tried to kind of cover it up a little bit. And she explained to her coworker that she had gotten a really bad haircut.
Yeah.
Mm. But
been there.
It was under the assumption that, you know, because of other rumors that were circulating, that it was actually
abuse.
Yeah, physical abuse at the hands of her husband. But also there were some other things too, one of them being I think the biggest issue or the biggest like red flag for detectives was when they spoke with someone who had actually seen bruising around her neck. Mm. She came in wearing a scarf to work one day, and apparently her husband, who was by all accounts a very jealous,
very impressive
individual.
Way of saying that. That was very impressive.
He was very jealous of the attention that his wife got. Remember, we talked about how attractive she was. And she apparently had just as much of a beautiful personality as she was beautiful.
So people
on the outside
just clung to her.
Yeah, she seemed like a very amazing person. And
she's a lot like you.
He.
Wow. Hey, let's do a pause real fast. We're gonna hug it out.
So, what was I talking about again?
I know. Josh? See, she's Jesus Christ. She's like, oh my God, this guy, I'm so in love with him. He says sweet things. She was very beautiful. Everyone thought that. So he was thinking.
Yeah. So he was a very jealous person. And,
by the way, I said three pages and you brought like three briefcases of material.
Things.
Anyway,
more efficient than you
gotta learn how to, you gotta learn how to consolidate.
So I was talking about the questioning.
Yeah.
Help me out, Ralph.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, basically, people are coming forward. They're talking about the abuse. There was some abuse.
She was very beautiful.
Do you see how I have the pages numbered?
Yeah.
She was a beautiful woman. She was a beautiful lady. Everyone was looking at her. He was probably jealous of that.
Oh, they were presenting him with evidence as to why they didn't believe what he was saying. So he. Yeah, they were saying his story didn't add up. Okay, blah, blah, blah. History of abuse, coworkers coming out and they're saying, you know, we saw her in this condition, in this shape. She talked about, you know, how, okay, this one coworker that she had the bruises around her neck and she came in wearing a scarf. This coworker claimed that she told him that her husband got upset about accusing her of something like some infidelity of some sort, and he strangled her on her lunch break.
Normal,
apparently.
Wow!
Like literally came back to work with a scarf on and some red marks and stuff around her neck. Up,
yeah. So he's a piece of shit.
Well, okay. So this is all told secondhand. So you know. Detectives reach out to his second ex-wife, or at least the one that he married
from
after
Abilene.
Yes, that he
and this at this point though
Abilene
this wife she's an ex-wife.
Could have lived in Huntsville together. Maybe he moved to Abilene, came back earlier than 2017, and then met this woman. Her name is Frida Spiller. She claimed that when asked by detectives, did he ever mention anything about Mary Jane LaFleur? Did he ever talk about her? She claimed that he actually went quite the opposite. Not only did he like not talk about her, he never said a damn
anything.
Word about her.
Wow.
Like nothing.
Wow.
Like she never existed. And
that's real hate right there.
To me that speaks volumes. The fact that he didn't say anything. That says a lot already. So a coworker by the name of, this was the biggest thing for cold case detectives. A coworker by the name of Tony Garcia ends up talking to cold case detectives and
on the show.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But there's articles about this too. So he talks to cold case detectives and says, on that Sunday before he reported her missing, or Monday before he reported her missing, whichever day it was, this guy had actually come over to Larry's house prior to him even reaching out to anyone to file a missing persons report. Mm-hmm. And Larry was detailing her car. The car he went and picked up from West Hill Mall and drove back to their house, he was actually washing out the inside of it and detailing
it. He was hired to detail the car.
So
that doesn't look
good. That's her husband. And no, he was not hired to detail the car.
No, I'm saying
he decided to.
I'm confused. Oh,
no, he was fucking covering up his crime, Josh.
Oh, this.
I mean, he was detailing his car.
Okay, we don't know that for sure.
Yeah, I mean,
but
I'm making that look.
I was confused.
Really suspicious.
I thought the guy that you're talking about was the guy detailing. He hired this guy to detail the car. No, he showed up.
He's a friend. He shows up.
He's like, "What's up? The Texans are playing, or at this time, the Oilers maybe.
The Oilers
are playing. Yeah, let's watch them." And he's like, "Why are you washing your wife's car?" And he's like, "Let's. The game's on."
Mm-hmm.
And he's
but the friend knew that he was pissed off at his wife, apparently, because she left him. She was having an affair. Like, they had that conversation, and the dude's thinking, like, okay, your wife's cheating on you, and you're cleaning her car?
Let me be clear here. Let me interject. There are two things I'm not going to do, Ashley, in my life. If you are missing,
I could list
if
like
you,
25 right if, now.
I want to tell you right now, Ashley.
That you're not going to do.
As a friend, a longtime friend, 20 years, as a lover, I will two things I will promise you. I will not, if you come up missing, I'm not going to detail your fucking car.
And that's the only way it's ever going to be detailed.
And number two,
that sucks.
And number two, I'm not going to detail your car if I know where you are. So
no
that's
shit.
Pretty fucking suspicious.
You're not going to detail the house. You're not going to detail my car.
I know.
Car.
The dishes. I'm not going to detail
no,
anything.
You do the dishes. That's what
that
I
is fucking mind blowing.
It is mind blowing.
Detailing the car.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, of course, it was within those 2 years that he collects the life insurance and heads off to.
Ugh.
So there's that.
Yeah. No, that looks good.
No, none of it looks good. So
page 10 of 30.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm getting
I told it. You 3 pages.
Go on.
3 pages. So 3 pages.
All of this, or a lot of this, is discussed in the 4.5 hours of interrogation.
Oh, there's 4.5 hours more. Listener, hold tight.
No, it's Order within a pizza. The 4.5 hours that they're interrogating
this is
him.
Oh, 6-hour episode.
Stuff he's talked about. And he claims people are lying, people are not remembering it correctly or whatever.
So fast forward to
or
now,
that
basically, right?
He's got an excuse for everything,
right?
You know, and ends up, it's like I flipped the page and it goes to my tutoring groups for the next
I was wondering if those were suspects. I'm like, holy
shit.
ELA
language
so
arts.
She's like, so I eliminated all of these.
Yeah, there's suspects. 600 suspects.
Oh, yeah.
There's like 10 groups of people there.
So,
thought he was arrested in Brooklyn.
I thought that at this point, because when I remember my mom showing me the article in the newspaper, obviously 2 years ago, this was 2017, that he is actually arrested and indicted. I just kind of read it and thought, oh, so it was him. He's going to prison now. And I never really kept up with it after that. Well, of course, looking into it now, I'm like, why can't I find anything on him since 2017? Well, duh, it's because it hasn't gone to fucking court yet.
Tell her how you knew that.
So
tell our listener how you knew that.
What do you mean, how did I know that?
Yeah, she came, I was telling her we needed to get over to Ralph's house to record, and she's like, I don't know what to do because I thought he was
in
jail.
I don't know what to do. You
I'm
make
crazy.
Me sound frantic. I was not
and
frantic.
I said, this is very common, because she thought he was arrested.
Let me hold your hand and walk
she's like, okay, he's arrested,
this
so he's in prison.
Common.
I'm like, well, here's what happens. He's arrested, but
okay,
he's out on bail. You don't just get arrested and like, you're in prison. I mean,
exactly.
You
have to go through trial.
No shit. I know that, but I thought within the past
this is America.
2 years... I thought
he's out on bail, probably
some,
getting his case.
No, okay, so he is. He went in front of a jury and they decided, okay, so the
grand
detectives
jury.
Hand over the information to the district attorney, which is David Weeks, and I can't remember the other girl's name, but David Weeks was around when this case was first under the radar of theirs in 1991.
Yep.
Anyway, so he and another lady, the district attorney, decide that there is enough evidence to take this to court.
Right.
And they do. And he is out on $20,000 bail. And
that's
he's
it?
Been indicted,
right.
Let's see, and pled not guilty, obviously.
Right.
Yeah.
With first degree murder of his wife, Mary Jane LaFleur.
Huh. So this is one we need to follow. This is
I didn't know this was still ongoing.
15-year cold case. He's just now. This is now recently coming
to
life. It shows you how slow it
is. The wheels of justice turn.
Yeah, because he was indicted, and now he's bet on bail, getting his case ready.
Just like I took your breath away the other weekend.
It did.
Yeah. Sorry.
Like the song. Like the song.
It's a mean. It's a mean thing. Anyhow.
So I was just gonna read. Okay, I was looking for my notes on just the most. What happened when he went to court in 2017. So it was August of 2017. He pled not guilty to his wife's murder out on $20,000 bond, which I don't think is high for a first degree.
You know
what?
If I can interject, you know why it's not? I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because in a court's eyes, it is a very specific crime. He's not out there just killing random people. He killed someone out of passion, his wife. Yeah. It was clear that he's not going to repeat this. He's been out for 15 years. He hasn't killed anyone else. It was his wife. They take all that into consideration when they give you bail. He's not out there like serial killing.
And I think more than that, the way 20 more grand than that, small. I feel like that's really analyzing it to a fault.
It was probably 200,000. It's like 10%.
Okay, so
it's probably not 20 grand.
I really believe that what they're looking at more than anything or taking into consideration, first of all, is flight risk. And have the means to just disappear?
Yes. I don't know.
Before what you're saying. Because you're getting into a whole like analytical.
Used to when he worked for Texas Department of Corrections, no. But now that he works for Texas Department of Criminal Justice, probably has the money since it's changed.
Probably.
Anyway, so that's interesting. So we need to follow this case.
We will definitely follow this case. And guess what? Ashley, when there's more developments, we'll have you back on to give an update.
She's like, oh, hold on. I have another
case. I really want to talk about the East Area Rapist, but.
We're running hot right now.
I don't want to talk about it right now.
Oh,
she's, I just feel like, I mean, like you've said things about the East Area Rapist in the past.
Oh, she's like a historian for this
guy
now.
They were wrong.
Yeah.
Like this
remember,
stuff,
I talked to you about it.
That's right, you did.
Yeah.
And I corrected it.
She's become quite the historian in this case. We should bring her on for that at some point.
So, wait, I have a couple of interests. Can I just say at least
in
one
closing,
thing?
Yes. In closing, yes.
Okay, so remember how I told you the body had not been buried?
Hey, hold on. In closing, by all accounts. Very professional. Very professional. By
remember how accounts, I told you the body had not been buried?
By all accounts.
Okay, so buried,
yeah. That was weird,
there
by
was
the way.
Something that I read or watched that either Larry said this to somebody or somebody said this to him, but there was a conversation about it. Regardless, that the best way to get rid of a body is to not bury it, but to just take it out to the woods, let the animals discard of it. And that was something that came up in the investigation because it was said prior.
No shit.
God, and I looked for that again and couldn't find it.
Yeah,
okay.
That's dumb.
Is it okay?
That's just dumb. It's okay. No worries.
Maybe like in a swamp or something.
Yeah. Hey.
Well, swamp would be good.
Ashley.
What?
Guess what I want to do right now? I want to say thanks for bringing this to our attention.
Yes.
Never heard of this case. It's ongoing. It's fucking fresh. Shit is developing.
Thank you.
This is awesome.
Can I one more thing?
Oh, never ends. Go on. This is how it is. I'm like, hey, I want to go to bed. What? One more thing.
Okay.
Okay. So, okay.
So,
One more.
This actually, beyond all the details and facts that I've just given, like the one thing that I do want to say about this case that I feel like is most important to me,
and that pimp store still
and maybe people that grew up in Huntsville around this time period, is that it really did impact like safety around Huntsville when
that's
that
creepy.
Happened. I remember there were many times, especially when I worked at West Hill Mall, that I would be walking out to my car at night to leave work, and I would think about her. And not knowing, of course, at the time that the husband was even maybe involved, but there were rumors of that circulating throughout the years. But I always thought about the fact that she was taken or possibly her life ended from that parking lot. And, you know, they talk about on shows how a situation will occur. A kid will get kidnapped, a child will get kidnapped, and it changes the whole town and how they see things and starting to lock doors and all that kind of stuff. And I kind of get that through this case, that was something that was really scary to me. That happened not too far from where I lived, and this woman disappeared, and we never knew what happened to her.
And there's another case we will talk about maybe at some point that also happened in that town that was creepy at the car wash.
That's
for another day.
Literally a case that it's
another day, guys.
We'll
yes, it's
talk
creepy.
About that.
Yeah, we will be right back.
We're running hot,
like super
running
hot.
Well, there's people that get irritated when you say that.
I know.
Do you know that
you're one of them?
Well, I can tell by the look on my face.
That fucking look that you gave me. I mean, there's no question.
RBF.
Yeah, we have to wrap this up. It's going.
It's going long.
Okay, you've said that. Let's wrap it up.
It's going.
Quit talking about it. You're wasting time.
One more thing. Explain to our listener, your tattoo on your forearm says Texas, Texas, Margaret. What does that mean?
So you said you wanted to wrap it up.
I know, but this is very important.
I have no choice.
This is very important.
Okay, so I have a tattoo on my arm. I don't know what part of my arm this is called.
Forearm. Make it really quick, though.
Is this the fibula?
Yeah, I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
It says Texas, Texas, Margaret, and it's Sam Houston's last words.
Bone crunch.
That's pretty cool.
It is cool. Yeah. That's it. So we'll go to the next. Yeah,
I love Huntsville, and I love Texas.
And Sam Houston.
And that's where Sam Houston died. And
you were a Texas.
Viva la Mexico.
Yes. Thank you, Ashley, for coming on.
Okay.
Yes.
We will be right back.
Score!
After this.
That was a hockey reference.
Okay, so this is the Bayou section.
It is.
Like I said, Brower departed earlier.
He had to leave.
So there's no Brower. It's just us three.
So let's get straight to the fucking Bayou. You look so serious right
I'm
now.
I'm really upset.
You're like, Bayou now.
Yeah, Bayou now.
Rodeo. Why are you talk
actually,
rodeo.
Actually, no.
Is it because I'm here? Do I need to leave?
No, it's okay. No, it's fine.
No.
It's fine. No, I'm glad you're here.
We're going to talk about the fucking rodeo.
That's right. No, actually, what we're
Chris Stapleton.
Here's what we're going to talk about. A couple things. Number one, Crawfish Boil. One Sack Showdown. March 23rd. Great Heights Brewing.
2 weekends from now.
Yes, please show up, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a fundraiser for Craft Pack.
Yep.
Beer Blood in the Bayou is going to be out there. We're going to be cooking
crawfish.
James is
going to be there.
We're going to be there because we're not going to go to Renaissance that weekend.
That's our secret. We're going to be in town because we need to do some shopping.
That's right. You'll be in town because
James will be the
that's right.
One Sack cook-off.
What Sack? So we actually we recruited a team captain. You know
really?
Who it is? Yeah. Bane.
Oh, he was on episode 16.
Yeah. So Bane,
I don't know.
You had a hiatus, and then Bane stepped in, and he was on a few episodes. He's going to be cooking
great
our
response.
Crawfish.
Yeah.
Which
really?
We need to help him out. Yeah. So we're really excited about that.
A Jew cooking crawfish.
That's right, Ashley. A Jew cooking crawfish.
And that's coming from another Jew.
So
she
is this,
Jewish.
Yeah, I know. Well, no, I know. But question, is that... So I guess there's no crawfish cooking in the Jewish community.
I mean, okay, so without getting too much into it,
yeah.
So obviously no pork. But shellfish as well.
Oh, really?
I don't really abide by that.
Oh, okay.
And actually, I know that Jonathan, I'm pretty sure he eats pork too, so.
She's being pretty bashful here. Okay. She bashful?
Be bashful.
Ashley won the 2015 Gefilte Fish Cook-Off contest on the West Bank, and it was good.
Well, good
I don't
for you.
Think
she's
I've
very,
actually ever had.
She's very modest.
Wow.
Thank you.
At all.
It's cool.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. So there was that. And then I just, again, want to fucking shamelessly plug my culture map article.
It was good. I read it. It was very well written.
So there's going to be some more coming out. So just, you know, keep your eye out there.
How often is that going to come out?
Once a month. So I'm going to be doing like a monthly article.
Okay.
So, yeah. So just maybe keep your
eye. So once a month, where do I stay away from?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Just
kidding. You're going to be sharing that shit. I mean, you're on Facebook. Yeah. I mean, it's
easy I'm on Facebook, but I'm not. On Facebook.
Oh, you don't really get on it?
Never.
Much. No.
Ever.
Yeah.
Like, she's on Classmates like I am.
Yeah, Josh.
And I'm not on that.
Well, Josh just got a new Facebook page, so I'm very proud
of him. Josh James, yeah.
Josh James did, yeah.
I get on Instagram more than I get on Facebook. Instagram's easier. You look at a picture, read a cool caption, done.
The only problem is, like, it's really difficult. You have to have, like, a third-party program to fucking share a post. It's ridiculous.
A third-party program?
Oh, on Instagram?
Yeah, to share a post.
I share posts. I don't think I have a third-party program.
I mean, you
program.
Can, like, message into anybody, but you can't, like, share it on your, I guess, your feed.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you can't share it on your feed. So fucking
dumb. Yeah, but...
And I don't know
that's
why.
The reason it's good, though. I mean, not as much advertisements.
I guess. It's just easier to promote stuff. Instagram's fucking huge.
That's why I say classmates.com. It's like, I talk about just this podcast and when our next reunion is.
Yeah.
There's two things we talk about.
Okay, when is it?
Reunion podcast.
When is your next reunion?
It's my 15th reunion is coming up soon.
15th? Bullshit.
Of this century.
Yeah.
You mean your 20th?
I don't... Can we stop recording? I know. So we can get in a big argument?
It's getting really weird.
Let's close. Okay. Play the music.
Yeah, so we'll go ahead and cue the music. Yeah.
No, wait. Hold on. All right, go ahead. There's nothing important to talk about? That was it? No.
I mean, no, it's just...
The rodeo. I don't know.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Cardi
B. Oh, holy cow. Yeah, the cow. the first place cow was purchased by Mattress Mack for $6 million.
Was it really?
No, I made it up. It could have been close to that.
But God, who knows what it is?
He buys it like every year, right? Like the number one steer.
It depends. I think
if it's a good looking steer.
Yeah.
Are you looking it up right now?
Well, no. Actually, what I'm looking up is the attendance record.
So Chris Stapleton is this Thursday. I was supposed to.
I know, and I would love to go to that. And I saw what you sent me.
Was that amazing?
Yeah.
Free tickets.
So here's the deal. So Cardi B like broke the attendance record, right? Actually, then last night
she broke the attendance record.
Yeah, Cardi B.
So she beat Selena.
Yeah, I mean
Quintanilla.
Yeah. So she was the biggest draw, like of anybody. But then last night, Los Tigres del Norte, and I'm fucking that up. I mean, like no accent at all.
Is that a Tejano band?
Yes,
they broke Cardi B's record.
Wow.
Yeah, last night.
So back to Tejano.
There we go. Then. Dude. So.
That's where it's at.
And everybody was so pissed about Cardi B because that's not like traditional.
Yeah, like, country, no, I kind of am too. You know, I like Tahano Cardi B. But
or whatever, you know.
Okay, so. I have a question. Speaking of Cardi B, this is, my school.
Yeah.
Which I'm not going to name, but it's a school here in Houston. Okay,
where you teach.
Charter school.
Okay. Yeah. And anyways, they have like some raffles there during the rodeo season for kids. And there were some parents there the other day that were setting up a stand to raffle off some tickets to the kids at lunch for Cardi B tickets.
Yeah.
It was junior high. Mm-hmm. No, it was high school. They were freshmen.
Yeah.
I don't know. I felt like Cardi B at a school.
She's an ex-stripper and like that.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I just didn't think it was appropriate. So I was talking to my friend. Are you kidding me right now? You don't know Cardi B is? Oh my god! Can you play that as the exit song?
No.
Listen,
really?
We don't have the.
If it's like not Ariana like Grande, that. I don't care.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I was talking to a friend of mine that I work with about that. Like, what was her opinion about? And she said, "Well, they had already bought the tickets, so it's one of those things where what is the saying? Ask for forgiveness later.
Ask for forgiveness. Yeah. Just ask for forgiveness.
Yeah." Yeah. So they had already bought the ticket. So everybody like there at the school was like, yeah, go ahead and do it. But I just was like, that's weird to me.
So my dad asked me one year when I was in high school what I wanted for Christmas. And I told him I wanted Marilyn Manson tickets. And he said, hey, who's Marilyn Manson? I was like, oh, lounge singer.
Really good lounge singer.
Oh, it's awesome.
And he's like, okay, absolutely. Fucking bought me Marilyn Manson tickets.
Oh, it's awesome.
It's because he didn't have access to Google, obviously.
Extremely religious.
GTS that.
Dude, that night.
There's no internet.
Marilyn Manson he pulled pages out of the Bible, ripped them up, and like threw them in the air.
No way.
That was like back then. That was like so fucking shocking.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh my God.
Oh, Marilyn Manson did this?
Yeah.
I thought you were saying your dad did this.
He did that too. When he found out.
He got pissed.
Guess what's coming out? Revelation's getting ripped out tonight.
The devil. Holy shit. Ralph is getting real about his dad over here.
We never talked about it. He never really knew. So
well, I remember my brother was into a band called Bad Religion.
Oh, yeah.
It's a punk band.
Yeah, it's okay though.
Yeah,
that's no fucking Marilyn Manson.
Oh no, Andy not Christ at Superstar, all. Yeah. No, but it was the name. He felt he needed to tell my parents. I think he changed. He like made up a different name or told them a different concert because he was thinking, oh, I'm going to tell them I'm going to a Bad Religion concert, and they're going to think we're like chopping the heads off chickens and goats and. Yeah. Doing God knows what.
Cool.
You know.
I told my mom to get me Candlebox tickets for Christmas, and she crafted me a box to hold candles and thought it was the same.
You're so dumb.
Again, that's...
You're dumb. God,
dude, that's just not good.
And then I said I want to go to Bush the next year, and she was at the landscape. Let's just play it. Play the music.
Yeah, okay. We'll go ahead and cue the music.
Cue it.
Bush. That was a great band.
It was.
Bush. Gavin Rossdale. Were you into
it? Yeah. I loved Gwen Stefani. She wasn't in Bush.